Mind.
Welcome back to the Ryer on YouTube channel. Travis Ryer back with another edition of Second Helping, this one on a Wednesday night. We are live on the channel on this Wednesday night, joined as always by my great friend, co-host, Mr. Brent Beard, a longtime college football analyst for First Coast News down in Jacksonville, Florida. Brent, of course, also a voter, and I'm going to ask Brent about this about 3 weeks into the season, you know, kind of who's got his attention as a Heisman Trophy voter. We'll get into all of that tonight, Brent. Absolutely. We got some big SEC matchups to get into. We got Georgia and Alabama on the bye week in advance of that massive showdown in Tuscaloosa a week from Saturday. But still with Chino on board, our show mascot, we're ready to go.
Well, we are. It's great to be back. And he loves to make these appearances.
Absolutely.
He was sound asleep on the little screen in porch, and soon as he heard your voice,
we had a little bit of a delayed start because we didn't want to rustle Chino from his pre-show nap.
We can't do that
with Chino. He cannot be rushed. Tex Tider here in the show chat was asking about Chino. So there you go.
Appreciate that much. He's 16 years old. He's got some health issues that we are dealing with, but he is sleeping and eating and doing all the cat stuff every day. So we're quite grateful for that. But we've got a few cats.
Yeah, we're going to get into some cats,
tigers, and so forth. They're playing this weekend in the
SEC. We do. First, though, we're going to talk about some Gators and dogs set for Saturday noon Eastern in Starkville, the beleaguered bowl, I'd call this for these two teams, given the last couple of weeks, especially Mississippi State. One thing to go on the road and lose in at least respectable fashion on the scoreboard anyway, by the time it was over out in Tempe, but then to come home and get absolutely throttled by a MAC opponent. There's more MAC on this SEC schedule again this week too, but Toledo just hammered Mississippi State in Stark Vegas last week. Gators, obviously, rough situation right now with Billy Napier and where that appears to be headed. It's almost been day to day. There were rumblings again right after the loss to Texas A&M last week that he could be gone this week. Looks like he's going to make it to Starkville. And the Gators, after it's all said and done, Brent, 6-point favorites.
Yeah,
on the road on Saturday.
Yeah, that's just amazing when you think about it. And look, I mean, I've seen, like you have, about everything that you could see imaginable. There's a list of possible replacements in the odds with that. You know, this is an interesting question here. Is Las Vegas puts out the odds on the games, but Trev, one thing they put out too are the odds on who either is going to get fired first, or if they know who's going to get fired, who are the possible replacements. I'm just curious how much action they might get out of something like that.
Oh, they get plenty. I mean, people will bet on anything. If you've ever been to a casino in Reno or Vegas, as soon as they can open that window in those sports books, there's typically a line already formed at however early in the morning they open. So, and a lot of them, they don't ever close, if you notice. But, it's a tough situation. It's going to be interesting with that quarterback situation still for Florida, Graham Mertz, DJ Lagway. As we talked about, the problems are far more extensive than just the quarterback position. Mississippi State, talk about Jeff Lebby's team and the embarrassment of that performance against a good Toledo team. Don't get me wrong, but the game really wasn't competitive. And when you look at this game, you're talking about the two worst rushing defenses, I think, in the SEC right now, which may be a good thing for Florida, because I still think Florida with Montrell Johnson and those backs have a better chance of running the football in this game than probably even Mississippi State does.
Yeah, I would agree. And there's some decent players in this game, but to your point, I mean, Florida nationally my stars, the defense is 106, and there's 133 teams. Scoring's 94, rushing's 102, and passing's 92. So in turnover margin, they're minus four and at 118. So, boy, the numbers just don't hold up at all with that. And you know, one thing about State, Jeff Lebby in his first year, this is a young club. They're rotating backs, Johnny Daniels, Devon Booth, Keon Lee, Chapin, who I think both of us like. He's thrown for over 800 yards, seven touchdowns, just one turnover at this point, and Kevin Coleman's doing okay. But I tell you what, and I've heard this all week like you have, Florida really doesn't need to lose to a first-year team and the team with maybe the worst defense in the nation besides himself to some degree. I'm curious what you've heard, and I'll be brief about this. I mean, there's some talk about it. If it's a debacle again for Florida, could that do something with the bye week coming up next week? But you also hear this, and this is legitimate. I heard this from some national media today, that if they fired him, who in the world would they put as the interim? Because
that's been my question all along. I mean, when I look at that staff, I go, all right, you know, I mean, typically a staff, there's one guy that you can kind of look at and go, yeah, that would make sense there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Napier is the kind of guy that, other than the on the field product, I don't worry about him embarrassing my program in a lame duck situation.
Right.
You know what I mean? I mean, we've seen coaches in successful situations that were at the assistant level that couldn't handle success before they were moving on to another job and had to go before the end of the season. See Lane Kiffin at Alabama in 2017. But I could see them staying with Napier. Because I think the decision's already been made. Mm-hmm. Now, who knows? Maybe he can rally this thing. But when I look at this football team, I just don't see enough quality pieces to make a run in this league, in this era of SEC football. So it's going to be interesting to see how they – I saw the bye week, you know, after the Miami loss and thought, yeah, if that's when you're going to go interim, that's when you would do it. And then my next thought was, well, who on that staff would you go interim with? So – aplenty for the orange and blue. What about the Kentucky Wildcats? You know, this almost feels like you worry about Kentucky having a letdown after a win.
Yes.
Because Kentucky played Georgia off its feet last Saturday night at Kroger Field. So Ohio comes in as a 2-1 team from the MAC. I got to think, though, the best friend for someone like Mark Stoops or some of these other teams we're going to talk about with MAC opponents this week, including Texas A&M, is just show them Toledo, Mississippi State last week and say, you don't think we have to show up? Just look at that game. So that should help Kentucky. Ohio can play a little defense. Kentucky, the defensive performance against Georgia obviously was very good. But Kentucky can let teams like Ohio make this thing ugly. The next thing you know, you're in the fourth quarter battling for your life.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And look, the other concern for Kentucky is they've had two games now without scoring a touchdown.
Yeah.
So that's something that's got to correct itself. And again, I love the toughness and the moxie of this Wildcat team against Georgia here. And look, they've got some pieces here. Their running back, Demi Sumo, help me on this. Cornbaya, we'll get that right soon. He had nearly 100 yards. So I was impressed with that. Now, Howell, they've got a couple of good running backs and Anthony Tyus and Ricky Hunt. So they've got to do their due diligence as far as defense is concerned. But I just wonder, Trav, can they put together in the next few weeks another Georgia-type performance and maybe get their, I won't say so much annual upset, but a game that could really make a difference in turning this program around this year?
Well, dropping that South Carolina game at home for me took what looked to be a given for a ninth straight bowl game for Kentucky and put that into flux. Mm-hmm. Almost feels like you're going to have to get one. Maybe you might end up having to get one somewhere else on the schedule. And so we'll see how that plays out too. Tex Tider chiming in here. He wants to know, Brent, are the Cats Chino's favorite team?
Yeah.
Makes sense, right?
That's right. He loves he loves Tigers and he loves Wildcats.
There we go. We're going to talk about some Tigers coming up next because the Bruins of UCLA are going to make that trip to Baton Rouge. LSU, a whopping 24.5-point favorite over UCLA, who was hammered last Saturday in the Rose Bowl by Kurt Cignetti in the Indiana Hoosiers.
Oh, yes.
Kurt Cignetti on that rapid ascent up the head coaching ranks now, former Nick Saban assistant at Alabama. Boy, Deshaun Foster's got a tough situation at UCLA.
Really does.
And LSU, it was disjointed at times. It was borderline catastrophic at times at South Carolina last week. But at the end of the day, LSU gets a much-needed win over South Carolina. An opportunity. This is an interesting game, too, because it's a mid-afternoon kick.
It is.
In Baton Rouge. You don't typically see that, but Garrett Nussmeier, we talked about this earlier in the week. Mm-hmm. It looks like maybe LSU has found a little something in the run game with the young back who had a couple of touchdowns in Columbia last weekend. But this should be an opportunity for LSU to get a split of the LA teams here in the first month of the season.
Yeah, no doubt. Caden Durham is the guy that you're talking about who really almost had 100 yards. Josh Williams still played 40 snaps, so he certainly is hanging in there, and he's doing well. The defense really played well at times, and then at times you turn around, they're giving up explosive plays, such as Rocket Sanders' run. Brandon Swenson on defense, 3 sacks and 5 total tackles, so he's coming along. Also, they've got UCLA, South Alabama, then they got a bye week. Big game in October with Ole Miss. UCLA really just kind of puttering along right now. Ethan Garber's their quarterback's barely over 50%. They're running the ball about 3.5 yards a carry. But, you know, Trav, this is typical LSU, is it not? I mean, when you think about the schedule, they should be undefeated right now, beating Southern Cal and South Carolina. But on the other hand, if they don't beat South Carolina, Trail, they've already got 2 losses in September.
There could be an argument to be made. They should be 1-2.
Yeah, absolutely.
That they should have lost to South Carolina last week after losing to USC in the opener. But yeah, this is not a good UCLA team. You mentioned Garbers. I think he's 1 touchdown pass to this point, 3 interceptions. So. Right. Could be a good week for this LSU defense to feel maybe a little bit better about itself. Let's talk about some more Tigers. This time, the Auburn Tigers in one of those 3:30 games Eastern time set for Saturday at Jordan-Hare Stadium. This is an intriguing matchup. Arkansas making the trip from Fayetteville. Arkansas with a helter-skelter performance against UAB last Saturday. We see the quarterback change at Auburn. Initially, at least, there's some positive returns in that regard. We're obviously going to learn a lot more about that this weekend. And that's really where it starts. I think if you could count on Talen Green to not do a couple of the inexplicable things that I've seen him do in a couple of starts so far this season, his last 2 starts, Oklahoma State, UAB last week, I'd feel really good about Arkansas's chances getting 3.5 on the road. I think there's a lot of people out there that are going to pick Arkansas
probably
in this game. But I still, boy, with Talen, I still have some trust issues in terms of how much he just values the little things.
Yeah. And
I don't think ball security is a little thing, but when I watch him, I just don't see where he values it much at all.
No. Would Tom Coughlin say that he has a callous disregard for the football?
I think sometimes you could say that.
Yeah. And you know, what's interesting about this game is the quarterbacks are going to get a lot of the press. But Trav, could we say early? And I don't want, I don't know if I really want to put Heisman here yet, but between Jarquez Hunter and Jaquindon Jackson right now, that's two of the better running backs in the league.
Yeah, if you're an Auburn fan, we talked about this earlier in the week. You love seeing Hunter do what he did last week. And Jaquindon Jackson's a real deal, big-time, upper echelon SEC running back. And they've got a little bit of a big three working with Andrew Armstrong at the wide receiver position. I think one of these defenses will be the difference in the game. I guess it's kind of a homecoming, right, for Arkansas defensive coordinator Travis Williams playing at Auburn. So there's that part of this thing. I got trust issues, though, with most of these teams. Yeah. I think, again, the opportunities will be there for the Auburn defense because of how Talon Green plays the quarterback position. Can Auburn capitalize on those is something we'll be waiting to see Saturday at 3:30. The Vanderbilt Commodores, the reward for not taking care of business in Atlanta against Georgia State last Saturday night. Yes. Now you get to go to Como to take on the seventh-ranked Missouri Tigers. Missouri, a 21-point favorite in this 4:15 Eastern time game set for the SEC Network, Brent.
Trav, have those Georgia State students sobered up?
All seven of them.
Yeah. As they rush the field during this time. Now, Eli Drinkwith, who has been mentioned for the Florida job, by the way, as we talked about, I mean, they're glad to be where they are, but he still says there's just something not quite right with this team. We talked about Blake Craig and the kicker how he came through and did well. Brady Cook. I mean, he's completing 70% of his passes. He can run a little bit too. Nate Noel has picked up the pace a little bit.
Yep.
You know, we know what Luther Burton's already got, 12 catches for 171 yards, and Marcus Carroll. So I think they're doing fine running the ball. Trav, I'm just wondering for our game,
but you know, that number obviously will go up. Meanwhile, you know, Alabama in rushing offense, more in the top five there, averaging about 5.8 per carry already. With this is the discrepancy that surprises me maybe the most. Alabama has 13 rushing touchdowns in three games, and Georgia has just four.
Yeah. Wow. Well, but I do think. Would you agree? ETN is cranking the motor.
I still like Nate Frazier. I mean,
I agree.
If it's kind of like the Jags, I know I don't want to turn this into the Jag show, but there's an ETN on the Jags.
Yep. Yeah.
And there's Tank Bigsby behind.
Yes.
ETN.
Right.
I like Tank Bigsby more.
Yeah.
Inside the 10 or inside the 20 than I like Good Travis point. ETN.
Oh yeah,
I think I like Nate Frazier maybe more than I like Trevor Etienne in that situation. But, you know,
I do think there's some interesting questions coming up, and I get to this in a second. But Raylan Wilson, the linebacker, was SEC Co-Defensive Player of the Week. Tyron Ingram Dawkins, Co-Defensive Lineman of the Week. So the Dawgs defense.